Well, I was given a book by a dear friend of mine, and it's entitled Overcomer by Dr. David Jeremiah. Perhaps you've heard of him. He's a better preacher than I am. So don't listen to him before you come here because the level goes down. But Dr. David Jeremiah is a gifted teacher, and in reading and consuming this book, this is where this sermon series was birthed out of. And so I want to give Dr. Jeremiah and his work proper respect and credit for this sermon series. It'll probably take us through the bulk of the summer. We'll see. Just kind of depends. But I've entitled our sermon series, Overcomer. Can I ask you this? In the quietness of your mind and in the privacy of your own heart, is there something in your life right now that you're trying to overcome? All right. That you're trying to overcome. Now, overcoming is a lot of different things. And so what I believe we're going to do over these next 7 weeks is we're going to address different areas of life that we struggle to overcome with at times. And we're going to look at the biblical explanation for how to become an overcomer. Now, I wanted to give us a working definition. I was out meditating at the ocean yesterday, and someone took this picture. I didn't give them authorization, but they took it. But the definition for overcomer, this is what we have: to get the better of in a struggle or conflict, or to overcome the enemy, to prevail over opposition, debility, temptations, or etc., to overcome one's weakness. We all overcome things, and the challenge that we face is how do we do it, why do we do it, and to what end do we want to do it? So, the struggle is real, all right? Let's validate the struggle is real, but I believe that to be an overcomer, there's really only two fields of competition, okay? There's the physical realm of competition. Now, when I was young, I was in a car accident and it broke my leg, and my leg's janked up. It was janked up then, it's still janked up now, and I got the privilege of learning to walk again after spending 12 weeks in traction in a body cast. Your body goes, who needs to walk? And they cut you out and they go, you need to walk or you'll starve to death. You know, you got to get to the table. And so I had the privilege of learning to walk again and all that that entails. I had to overcome a physical disability. And sometimes in life, we overcome physical challenges, and those are real. We don't want to devalue those. Those are real. But we believe, and the Bible teaches us, that there's a way in which to do that. I read this week and it made me giggle. Some people want to be an overcomer without having something to overcome. Isn't that true? I want to be 130 pounds, but I really don't want to diet. You know, I would love to, you know, just wake up one day and I have less. But it's an oxymoron in that we want to be overcomers, or we want to be fill in the blank, but we don't want the challenge that leads us or causes us to want that. Well, here's the truth of life. Challenges are going to come. You don't get a choice. So choosing to become an overcomer is a choice. The greater struggle than the physical is that of the spiritual. And let me explain to you why, in part. One is the spiritual struggle goes everywhere we go. The spiritual struggle can engage in wrestling anytime, anywhere, day or night. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a spiritual wrestling after the sun went down? How many have you ever had a spiritual struggle right as you're going to bed? Yeah, and it just ruins your sleep. The thing about a spiritual struggle is it can take place anywhere, anytime, and it connects into our feelings. It connects into our perceptions. It's a real thing, and it's really difficult. And so we see these two things. I love this quote by Albert Schweitzer. He says this: one who gains strength by overcoming obstacles possesses the only strength which can overcome adversity. An overcomer becomes an overcomer. And part of the challenge, like I said earlier, is we don't want anything to overcome, but we want to be overcomers. The only way you get to be an overcomer is to overcome. And the more you overcome, the more you can overcome. And you're saying, Jimmy, are you getting paid by the number of words, times you say overcomer? I am not. So let's go ahead. Our focus passage today is Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 17. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing in Ephesians, is an overcomer. Now, when Paul was Saul, before he met Jesus, he was trying to overcome God. He was trying to overcome the church. He was an assassin for the Hebrews to try to snuff out the followers of Christ. But then along a road, he encountered God, and God overcame him. And then God spoke into his life and be able to transform him. And then Saul, who was an enemy of God, became Paul, who was an apostle of God. And now he's overcoming his past, he's overcoming his humanity, and he's helping us to overcome the struggles of this world. Now, Paul recognized that there's the physical struggle. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, as Scripture tells us, and there's a debate over what that is. It's widely held that it was probably poor vision. So he had a physical struggle to overcome, but he had emotional struggles to overcome. And so as Paul, being a master teacher, he wants to give us an illustration that we can understand. Now, Paul, when he's writing, is still in the time of Christ. The Romans are the end-all, be-all of power. Most of the people in Paul's life have never known life out from underneath the Roman boot. And if you walk into any major city, into any major place of engagement, you're going to find Roman soldiers. And when you come across Roman soldiers, you're not going to have to debate who they are. You're not going to have to debate what they will do. You're not going to have to debate what they could do. When you saw Rome as it was manifested in these men, you knew they meant business. And so Paul says, I want to make an illustration that the people of my time, those who walk down their streets and see Roman soldiers, can understand. And then people who, like us, can see, can understand as well. So Paul compares the physical structure with the spirit, I'm sorry, the physical struggle with the spiritual struggle. A master teacher here, and we're going to look at that today, okay? Let's begin reading Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. First of all, Paul validates the battle. Have you ever gone to the doctor and you know you're sick, but the doctor won't validate that you're sick? And you're like, no, I'm sick. I know I'm sick, you know. It's like the fellow who passed away and he had to put on the headstone, tell the doctor I was right. I told him I was sick. But Paul validates the struggle. Sometimes as a kind, loving person, the best thing we can do for someone is to validate the struggle. You know, we have to validate the struggle. What you're going through is real. It's logical. It's understandable. I can't deliver you from it, but there it is, right? So Paul validates the struggle. Secondly, in Romans 7:15, Paul says this, for I do not understand what I am doing, for I do not do what I want, I instead do what I hate. The struggle's real. I don't know about you, but there's times that I do the things that I don't want to do, and I struggle to do the things that I want to do. And Paul says the struggle's real. And my friend, the struggle's real in you too. And the struggle's real with me. So let's look. Paul identifies the location that we should seek. When struggle comes, and it does, he says the position we should seek is to be in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean being in this building? Well, being in this building is a great place to be. I love these days when it's partly cloudy and the clouds blow by. God kind of gives us his own light show up there, right? I love that. But being in this building doesn't mean that you're in the Lord. Being in Texas is a great place to be, but it doesn't mean you're in the Lord. The phrase in the Lord means this, is that you as an individual have received his gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. To be in him means that we have taken ownership of what he's given to us, and he's taken ownership of us. Short road is this. To be in the Lord means to be a Christian. It means to be a Christ follower. It means that we do what God says to do. And Paul says that if we want to become an overcomer, and if we want to continue overcoming, the place we must be is in the Lord. And so he goes on. Paul identifies the equipment that we should use. First of all, our position is to be in the Lord. The second of all, we need to use the full armor. The full armor. Now, I know that in America, we can do whatever we want to do. We have rights and freedoms and yahoody. And we have people who ride motorcycles and yahoody. And we have people who ride motorcycles without helmets. And I go, ooh. Marco, do you ride without a helmet? Sometimes? Okay, now I'm not speaking about you. I'm just saying when I see that, now I don't ride a motorcycle. I'm a coward. Is that you, Pam? You rebel. I don't ride a motorcycle. I don't any longer anyway. But when I see that, I think to myself, it's amping up the risk. Now, I'm not saying they don't have the right to take the risk. But what I'm saying is if I were to ride, and I could be a hypocrite at this because I don't ride, but if I were to ride, I think I would wear a helmet because I would want the full armor between me and whatever, right? And so Paul says that when we're in Christ, something is made available to us. There's an armor. There's a full set of armor that's available to us. And the question is A, do we have access to it? B, do we going to use it? And C, are we going to use all of it or part of it? Paul identifies what our goal should be, to stand firm. Can I just say this? Life is hard sometimes. Amen? Sometimes life is really hard. Are really hard. And every now and then, and Jared, you were talking about, God dials it up, life dials it up, and it gets really, really, really hard. It's like the gorilla and the suitcase. Life gets really hard. If you don't know what that is, Google it. But God's desire for us is to stand firm in Him. All right, sounds easy, doesn't it? Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the powers and against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So he says again, Paul says, the struggle is real, but what are we struggling against? Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just talk a little bit more? Oh, you're driving me bat crazy. Because nobody wants to talk anymore. We just want to talk about each other. How can we solve anything if we don't talk? Even if we don't agree, we can still talk. And Paul says, the struggle is real, but what's our struggle against? Well, I can tell you what my struggle against. My struggle is against them Oklahomans because they keep coming over that border. Right? My struggle is against them Aggies because, well, enough said. What is our struggle against? Well, Paul says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against Democrats or Republicans or independents. It's not against, you know, Californians or New Yorkers. Or our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but that's where we can point it. Our war isn't against our fellow person, our fellow man. Rather, it's against the ungodly spirits that influence our world. It's against those things. It's against the rulers and the powers and the influences of this world. If we could look beyond the person to the original problem. It's like I said recently, and I'll say it again. Every funeral can be traced back to sin. Now, the path we take to get to that place is different. But the reason that humanity dies is because of sin. The original sin. When sin touched creation, it touches us all. And the penalty of sin is death. People get, listen, it's true. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. My problem is not with the Methodists. My problem is not with the Pentecostals. That's not my problem. My problem is against the powers and principalities and rulers of this world. It's against the evil and the sinfulness that leads people to do the things that is so destructive in our lives. And you know another person who can be influenced by those things? Hello. Hello. If I'm not careful, I can walk down a path. I could be that guy. He says, therefore, take up the full armor of God. Okay, so we're not fighting man, we're fighting spiritual things so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done nothing, and doing everything to stand firm. He says, that's okay. Let's just listen to the Bible teach a second. She's listening to David Jeremiah. But what are the requirements for the struggle? Well, first, Paul says to take up the full armor. Have you ever done just, ladies, I got to do this. Ladies, Have you ever known a man to lay aside an instruction manual? Oh, ladies know. You know why? Because we don't need that. I didn't design this. I went there when they built it. I went there when they packaged it. I can look at a picture. We lay aside that structure. Well, that's like, that's what Paul says, take up the full armor of God. You have this instruction manual. You have this available to you. You need to use all of it. What I have found out is when I don't use the instruction manual, they always pack too many parts. I think to myself, how thoughtful are they? And then I think to myself, I'll keep these. And then I think to myself, I'm a liar because I'll never find them again. It's made available to all who call upon the name of the Lord and seek to follow him. This full armor, this equipment, Paul says, it's available to every single one of us so long as we've called upon the name of the Lord. Wait a minute, Jimmy, are you saying just Joe, lost guy Joe, doesn't have access to this? Yes, that's what I'm saying. This promise isn't for him. Now, when Joe calls upon the Lord, this promise is all him. But this is a promise to those who have called upon the name of the Lord. It's available to us, but it's also something that can be picked up. But you know what? It's also something we can lay aside. We can pick it up. Can I tell you this? This is what usually happens, and how I know I'm guilty, is when things get tough and we're just fighting, we pick up that armor. And when the battle dies down, we lay it down. You see, we could pick up the armor, but we can lay down the armor. And thirdly, and more tragically is this, is the armor can become ineffective due to neglect. You know, if you don't take care of things, they won't take care of you. I'm a big Deadliest Catch fan, still am. And Sig the other night, they were doing repairs on their boat and all these things. And he says, you know what, if you take care of your boat will take care of you. But if you don't take care of it, you're risking your own life. And I'm like, that's right, Sig, you tell them. Well, as believers, if we don't tend to the armor, bad things can happen. It can fade and become ineffective to neglect. Verse 14, now stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, he says to stand firm. Now, that's a choice. Have you ever heard of the fight or flight emotion? If something were to happen right now, if there was just this really loud noise right now, you would either fight or flight. Your first thought would be one of those two. Now, for me, I could tell you what mine would be. I've got to fight. I'm prepared to fight. I'm going to run towards it, right? Some of you may want to run from it. That's okay. It's all right. We can't have everybody running towards it. But can I say this? Standing firm in the Lord is a day-to-day choice, and sometimes when that gorilla gets a hold of your suitcase, it's a moment-by-moment choice. And so it's a choice that we're called to make, and it says to gird up your loins. I love that. And it says with the belt of truth. What is truth? That's the debate of our generation today. What is truth? Is my truth truth? Is your truth? What's truth, right? Well, let's look at what the scripture says. John 17 says this, they do not belong to this world just as I do not belong to the world. Set them apart in truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and I have set myself apart on their behalf so that they too may be truly set apart. What's truth? God's word's truth. And the challenge that we face is this. If you and I are going to be true overcomers in the Lord, this question must be settled in our minds and hearts. If we're going to truly be overcomers, we can't constantly have this debate over what is truth. Because what the human heart will do is this, is if we're not careful, the only truth we want is the truth that's most comfortable to us. And can I say this? God's truth isn't always comfortable. It's always right, but it's not always comfortable. And so for us, if we're going to truly be overcomers today and going forward, we must settle in our minds and our hearts, what is my truth? My truth is the Word of God. What He says He means, and what he says he wants me to do, I'm settled on that. Whether I like it or not, whether it's comfortable for me or not, and can I just say this? Even if I don't necessarily agree with it, God's word is truth. To be an overcomer, you must finally, once and for all, settle that question in your life. So let's go on. He says, stand firm, therefore having, it's a choice, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? Well, if you can imagine that soldier, he puts on a breastplate and it covers all of his vital organs. I also watch MMA, don't judge me. But I saw this guy get a liver kick the other night and I was like, sweet. And I was thinking about this message because I was wondering if he had that breastplate on, that wouldn't have protected his liver. But if he had the back part on with the front part, he'd been all right. But what does this mean? Well, if you can imagine that breastplate for that soldier, it covers his heart, and it covers his vital organs. To be righteous means to obey God's commandments and to live in the way that is honorable to him. Righteous means I'm living what God says is true, not what I want to be true. Let's look what Scripture says. Psalm 106 says this, how blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness. Let's read that last line all together. At all times. Let's do that one more time. What's at all times? Well, Jimmy, I don't like it at all times. Well, Jimmy, my culture doesn't agree with it at all times. My family doesn't understand it at all times. It's a challenge. It's something to overcome. I'm not saying it's easy. But he says that's the benefit for us. And then he goes on and he says, to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. To shod your feet. I love that word. What does that mean? Well, if you look at a Roman soldier, they had sandals. They had the best the military could offer. And in those sandals, they were designed. On the bottom of those sandals, they had, the best I can say is, it was much like our golf shoes. Do you wear soft spikes on your golf shoes? Okay. The Romans wouldn't wear soft spikes. They were, yeah. But the bottom of those shoes, they were conditioned to give good traction, because when you're fighting, you don't want your feet to slip out. And can I get a little graphic? If you're fighting and what you're standing on is kind of covered in blood, you don't want to be slipping around. And so Paul says, look at their feet. They're covered. They're ready for action. They're ready to stand firm. Remember, that's what God's calling us to do, stand firm. And shoes give us a few things. If you've never been without shoes, you don't understand what this is. One, it gives you a sense of safety. Now, I've got, no offense, I've got girl feet. There used to be a day I could run without shoes all the time. That is not today. But safety, it keeps things. Have you ever stepped on a nail and it only went through the sole of your shoe, not the sole of your foot? Thank you, Jesus. So it offers safety. Secondly, it offers comfort. If your feet aren't comfortable, how miserable are you? Mm-hmm. And thirdly, it gives you stability. Why do we want these things? Well, because you remember, we're not going to war against flesh and blood. We're going against spiritual things. But what we are called to do is to walk and share the good news. How far could we walk today if you had to go barefoot? If we all took off our shoes and I said, hey, we're all going to Cracker Barrel. Now, I'm going to tell you, just walking out to the end of our driveway would be a challenge. Cody could do it, yeah. Look at this. Proverbs 13 says this. An unreliable messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful envoy brings healing. As we're walking through our lives, we're bringing healing and hope. Verse 16, in addition to all these things, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. The shield of faith. Now, I love when you're watching old movies and they say, shield wall, and they all come together. It's pretty amazing. What's that? Hey, Scott, what's it called when they all come together with the shields? There's a name for it. I've not heard porcupine. Okay. What? You lost me at porcupine. okay, anyway. That's why I love Scott. You just don't. Huh? Okay. Well, I get it. I just never heard porcupine. That's a, I just can't imagine going to military school. Okay, today we're going to study porcupine. Anyway, but the shield of faith, what is that? Well, Hebrews 11 says this. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. First of all, the shield of faith is essential if we're going to please God, and it's essential if we're going to be an overcomer. It's through faith that we overcome. Now, the shield doesn't deliver us from the fight. Rather, it protects us and delivers us through the fight. Just because a warrior pulls out a shield doesn't mean the adversary goes, oh, it's a shield. Okay, we're going to walk off. But that shield gives us protection. And when we stand alongside other people with shields, it gives us another sense of protection. And it can deliver us through the fight. One of the challenges that we face, like I said earlier, is this. Is we can never be overcomers if we're never placed in a position where we need to overcome. And Steve said it last week, and I think Steve said it last week. I heard it recently. I'll give whoever credit. Is this, is if we believe that God will never allow more into our lives than we can handle, we're deceived. Because you wouldn't need the armor. You would never have to fight if you were never up against something that you could not defeat on your own. So let's look what he says here. Psalms 91. He will shelter you with his wings. You will find safety under his wings. His faithfulness is what? Like a shield or a protective wall. What's that shield of faith? It's in God's protection. What does faith mean? Faith means that God's got me. Whether I live or whether I die, God's got me. Whether I win or whether I lose, God's got me. The shield of faith, he says, the helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet's really important because it protects your noggin. If you get your noggin knocked, it's problematic. We were talking this last week about bringing back the ALF softball team. I'm still in debate because I remember when my noggin got knocked. Or let me back up. I remember what people told me I was like when my noggin got knocked. I caught a concussion at first base. Anywho. But the helmet is transformation. When God's helmet of truth is on our brains, helmet of salvation, it begins to transform the way we think, and that transforms the way we feel, that transforms the way we perceive things, that transforms the way we respond to things. It also gives us a sense of protection. And again, God's got us. Whether I win or whether I lose, whether I live or whether I die, God has me. He is my protection. No one can do anything to me that God isn't aware of. And then it goes on, he says this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, this is our only offensive weapon. Paul says, take up the full armor of God. There's no spear, there's no sling, there's no catapult, there's a sword. It's our only weapon. Now, the beautiful thing about a sword is it can be offensive if necessary. It can be defensive when necessary. Let's look. The sword is both. I'm so good. Let's take a look. For the weapon of our warfare is not human weapons, but are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds. We tear down arguments and every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ. He goes on to say this in Hebrews, for the word of God is living and active. Why do we need to be students of the word? Because it's living and active. It's an active agent in our lives and in our world. Sharper than any double-edged sword. A wonderful, again, mentioning like the Romans had. Piercing even to the point of dividing soul from spirit. That's a real small gap, if there is such a thing, and joints from marrow. It is able to judge the desires and thoughts of the heart. You see, when we bring the sword of truth, God's word is what convicts the heart of mankind. My job's not to convict. My job's not to judge. My job is to bring truth and trust the Lord to do it. Now, I may need to defend the truth, And that defense begins with the way I live and consequently goes down the way. But God says, we have an offensive weapon. It's the word. The offensive weapon isn't my opinion on the word. The offensive weapon isn't my interpretation of the word. You see, God's word tells me what's truth. I don't tell God's word what's truth. And so we carry this into our world. I don't know about you. You guys may all be champions. But sometimes life feels like it's going to tear us apart. Anxiety, fear, confusion, temptation, all those things come our way. And I want to dispel the illusion right now. It comes the way of your pastor too. I'm walking a journey just like you. And there's times when I'm a hero, and there's times when I feel like a zero. There's times when I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol, and then there's times when I'm ready just to hide in a cave and pull it in on myself, as the prophet said. Romans 12:21 says this, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." We can't allow the world to overcome us. We can't allow that. John 16 tells us this, "I have told you these things so that in me," remember, where does Paul say we need to be? In him. "That in me you may have peace. In the world you have trouble and suffering, but take courage." What? I've conquered the world. The person that I'm in, Christ Jesus, has won. He's won. Now, I don't always feel like I'm winning, but the person I'm in has won. And how about this? The person who's in me, Christ Jesus, greater is he who is what? In me than he that is in the world. He's won. So when I feel like a loser, I'm really just kind of lying to myself. And I'm an expert liar, let me just say sometimes. I'm in him and he's in me and he has won. And he says, "Jimmy, as long as you're in with me, you're a winner." Because you know what? This world's not my home. This world's not our home. This world's great, isn't it? Man, I love watching everyone graduate. I think back to our graduation. Scott, wasn't it great? We were going to take over the world. But Jeff, where are we? But I'm going to say this. We didn't take it over, but the world's pretty good. Grandbabies and all those kind of graduate, right? But this world's not our home. We're just passing through. All that this world affords us, as sweet as it is, doesn't begin to measure up to the home that we're walking towards. So this is going to be kind of our theme over these next several weeks. Romans 8:37. In all things, we have complete victory. Not just partial victory. We're not just going to wrestle to a tie. One of these days, God and Satan are going to go, "Okay, it's a draw." Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is victorious. There's no draw. It's like I told you, I don't play for participation ribbons. I play to win. I used to say I'd knock my mama down if she was coming in for a basket. I wouldn't really do that, but I'm just saying I play to win. In all things, now Jared, I would knock you down. All right, huh? I might knock you down too, I don't know. I probably wouldn't. Now Jared, here's the thing, is I might be able to talk her into knocking you down. And that would mean more to me. In all things, in every discouraging moment, in every fearful night, in every unexpected tragedy, in every financial setback, in every unattended job change, in every unexpected fender bender, in all those things, we have complete victory because I'm strong enough. I'm not strong enough. Because we're strong enough. Now, together, we're better, amen, but we're not strong enough through the Lord. You see, I've got to remind myself of that. God doesn't need reminding. I got to remind me. So over these next few weeks, we're going to look at becoming overcomers. Falsehoods? I don't know about this. Is there anything false going around in our world? Like that poor guy at Lowe's who got falsely accused for exposing himself? Did you hear about that? In Greenville? This lady decided she was going to accuse this man of exposing himself. She lied. But not before it all got out on Facebook. And this poor guy is out there, and he's standing there on this picture, and you can't take that stuff back. Let me pull my soapbox out just a little bit. Don't share what you don't know is true.
Amen.
Evil with good, anxiety with peace, fear with faith, confusion with wisdom, temptation with scripture. And this is my final invitation to you is this. Is what I'd like for you to do at the opening of the message, I asked you, is there something? Is there a circumstance that you're trying to overcome, you want to overcome, you need to overcome? Can I ask you this? Somewhere will you write that down? So that as we walk through this together, I'm believing the Lord's going to take you to that something, and he's going to show you where victory lies. I'm going to believe that. And so somewhere write that down. And what I'm hoping is that at the end of this, you could come and you say, hey, this is what I wrote down, and this is what God has shown me. That'd be awesome. I hope that you'll do that, all right? All right, let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you that you have overcome the world. Father, we thank you that you have overcome sin and death. Father, we thank you that you've overcome the grave. And Father, we thank you that in you and by you and for you, we too are overcomers. God, everything that we need, you have provided. Father, the choice is whether I pick it up, whether I put it on, and whether I maintain it. Lord, it's not in your provision, it's in my acquisition. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, beginning with myself, Lord, that you would help me to be an overcomer. Lord, not that I could boast of my strength, my wisdom, my training, my experience. Lord, not that I could boast of me. Lord, for I am no one, but Father, that I could boast of my God, who is everything. Father, help us this day as we begin this journey, Lord, to see you and to understand your process, your power, and your promise that we might overcome this world. Father, I pray for each and every one of us as we begin this journey. Lord, help us to be faithful to the study. Lord, help us be faithful to listen. Lord, help us to be faithful to put into practice. And Lord, you'll be faithful to fulfill your promise in it. It's in these things we ask through Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.